Welcome back to the Titus Talent Podcast. I'm sitting here with a good friend of the last 4 or 5 years, Mike Godfrey Jr., president of Roadrunner Sports, headquartered in San Diego.
Yes, sir.
Good to have you here, Mike.
Great to be here. Great. You're looking very dark and black.
Black is slimming. See, the camera adds at least 50 pounds.
I like that.
So if I'm looking like, you know, quite comfy, it's because I moved to the Midwest recently. So.
Well, this is true. Better eating back there for sure.
All the people in the Midwest are like, hey, like, what are you saying? But I met you here in San Diego where we're sitting right now. But, you hail from the Midwest a little bit. So
I do.
Give us your story.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in San Diego, born and raised, but I moved back to Michigan for high school and then stayed at the University of Michigan for college and then moved to Chicago for probably 8-9 years.
Wow.
And then came back out to San Diego to start my career with Roadrunner Sports.
What were you doing in Chicago for 8 or 9 years?
You know, in Chicago, I graduated from Michigan, and all the Big Ten schools somehow find their way to Chicago.
Yeah,
it was great living in the big city, but I was working with Marsha McLennan right out of school, and then I worked at AOL Time Warner. So I got into advertising sales online through AOL, got my MBA, and then had the opportunity to work with Roadrunner after that.
Okay, so that's a... Okay, this podcast is for leaders.
Yes.
Talking about leadership stuff and then taking it whole and kind of what's going on in the basement. How do you manage a private world? But I want to hear about that because it's significant because you are second gen.
Yes.
Family, leadership, business owner. Tell us about that transition because there's a lot there.
Well, I think if I look back at the way, you know, for Roadrunner Sports, and every family business does it differently, but I think one of the good things about the way that we did it with my father is it was never an expectation to work at Roadrunner Sports.
Okay.
I didn't grow up with him saying, hey, someday I want you to work with me.
Yeah.
It was quite the contrary. Growing up, he always said, hey, I'm going to move on from the business, sell the business. I'll teach you about business, but Roadrunner won't be an opportunity for you. And so that was always in the background for me, creating my own way, having my own job, going to get my MBA on my own. And it was only after I got my MBA that my brother was also in Chicago and I connected. And we had some e-commerce background at that time.
Okay.
And Roadrunner Sports e-commerce was starting to grow.
Yeah.
And so my father came to us and said, hey, I need some help. And would you be willing to come on board at Roadrunner Sports and help us?
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, a few things there. I want to talk about that transition. But as a son of an entrepreneur, because your dad, you know, as an entrepreneur, he started the business and he's a big visionary, dreamer, fast paced, like change the world type person, from what I hear.
Yes.
How was that as a kid? If you can remember back to being a kid and feeling like this, you mentioned it's not an opportunity for you to kind of join the family business. I mean, it sounds like there's no assumption. There's no assumption that you have an in and no assumption that you should be in.
Like, 100%.
How did you process that as a kid?
You know, I just thought that was normal. I was around the business. I worked in the warehouse.
Yeah.
I worked in the retail store. One of my first jobs in middle school was cleaning the shoes when they would be returned so we could sell them again later or donate them.
Spitting on it.
Oh, 100%. So I think for me, it was normal. I just thought, wow, my dad's created this great business.
Yeah.
I saw how hard he worked.
Mm.
I mean, he really worked hard. But he was an entrepreneur that created time to be with the family, too.
Okay.
I remember him coaching me in sports.
Yeah.
I remember him always being there on the weekend. And luckily, I think he created the business where he didn't have a lot of travel.
Yeah.
So he was present at dinners, on weekends.
Yeah.
But I think if you ask him today, he always had the business on his mind.
Mm.
And I think that was something that was always percolating, always thinking about the next idea, the next vision.
Yeah.
How could we grow Roadrunner? But as a kid, it really didn't show through to me. I just thought it was cool. We got running shoes every now and again.
Okay, derail a little bit. Not from a Roadrunner Sports commercial, but anyone who's listening here going, Roadrunner Sports. What is that again? I've never heard of it. Like, give us the, tell us about Roadrunner Sports.
Yeah, well, what was exciting, my father started it in a garage in Del Mar in 1983. Okay. And we were selling running shoes through mail order catalogs, which at the time was unheard of.
Yeah.
Nobody was buying running shoes through mail order catalogs. Everybody would go to the local store.
Yeah.
So that's how we started, via the catalog. So we are a multi-channel retailer. We have 47 retail doors across the country. We have a very large e-commerce presence. And we do still have a catalog that we send out, and people call in and place orders. About 10% of our revenue still comes in from phone orders.
No way.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So those are some of our most loyal customers for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you, so you're in Chicago, you get the call from your dad, like, hey, I need help with e-commerce. And in you come, move back to San Diego. What's your family situation at the time? Had you met your wife at that point, or did you come with family, or you came as a single person?
I was dating my wife when I started at Roadrunner Sports. And okay. for the first year and a half, I actually worked remotely in Chicago with my brother.
Okay.
So we were working on the website remotely. And one of the things that was interesting, Jonathan, and again, this I think is another positive about the family business dynamic we set up. I had a one-year contract with my father. And on that one-year contract was specific goals and KPIs that me and my brother had to hit, or at the end of the year, the bottom of the one pager said we would part ways, but we would still love each other as father and son. So I had a one page contract for the first 7 years at Roadrunner Sports. 1 year, one page each year, a new contract with new goals and KPIs to hit.
I love that.
Yes. So that's unique that I've heard in the family business world, right? A lot of family businesses, next generation comes in, they kind of move through departments. I was on a one-year contract, and if the goals were hit, we went to the next year. After about 7 years, I said, okay, enough is enough. Let's rip this up. I've paid my dues a little bit. Yeah.
Now that's for you, between you and your dad. How does that work within Roadrunner, like now? Clear KPIs, talk about that. Is it something that trickles out through the whole organization? Like, have you ever thought about that? Everyone's on a one-year contract and we'll review you at the end of the year.
No. That was, I think, something that my dad did to protect the family first and make sure that our relationship stayed strong, which it did, no matter what, that our family was first and the business was second. In terms of KPIs for the business, absolutely. We're a data-driven company.
Yeah.
You know, we're really a high-tech database company that happens to sell running shoes. We track everything. We have historical databases going back many years so that we can market to our customers in the most effective way.
I love, I recently became a VIP member.
Oh, love it.
Which I want to talk about that a little bit. But a great experience. I came and visited one of your stores and went through, and it felt like this whole, like, not an assembly line from, you know, like I was just being moved through, but it was like these relational handoffs from the time I walked in. It was like concierge. I showed up, you know, I got sort of checked in and taken through this whole amazing journey. I was running around the store at one point on a little track. I'm standing in this like amazing kind of foot mold machine, and they're filming my feet.
Yes.
It was an incredible experience, and I walked out going, "What the heck just happened?" You know, and I became a VIP member, and I'm like, "You see, you're going to send me these inner soles, you know, that are custom formed to my feet every time I need them." And like, I just go online and I request. You know, it was a super cool experience.
Right.
But talk about like kind of your role in all of these things, like as far as vision and stuff like that, from a handoff from your dad to you, and like what are you dreaming of and what's going on for the future of Roadrunner?
Yeah, I think for us, look, when you think about Roadrunner Sports and 47 doors and the e-commerce, you know, a lot of people think of us as where only runners go to buy running shoes, running apparel, socks, and the insoles, as you mentioned. But it's actually very different. We get a large portion. For sure, we get the runners, Jonathan. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, like me.
We get, of course, exactly like you. But we get a large portion of customers just coming in who have foot pain. and heard Roadrunner Sports is the place to go to get the perfect fitting shoe. We have people that just walk around the block a few times a week, and we love that. We'll meet you anywhere you are in your fitness journey. And so I think for us, growing into the future, we think there's huge opportunity to open up more doors, expand our e-commerce business. And we think there's huge potential for Roadrunner Sports in the future.
There is a huge, I mean, it seems to be a big awareness on mental health these days for employees and employers. That relationship, suddenly employers are going, wow, I have to now care about my employees' mental health.
Right.
You know, I thought it was just an exchange of, I pay you, you do stuff for me.
Right.
Like, no, we have to care about that. And then, like, what ties to mental health is obviously physical health.
Yes.
Talk about that a bit, because I know you're passionate about people's health.
Yeah, I think for us, you know, at Roadrunner Sports, we have close to 950 team members across the country.
Oh, wow.
And one of the things that's really important for us is our mission and our vision. We talk about, Jonathan, inspiring and helping people to get moving, stay active, and live healthy.
Okay, break that out. Say it again.
Get moving. Stay healthy and live, get moving, stay active and live healthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get moving. Talk about each one of those in sequential order. What do you do to help people in those areas?
Yeah, I think for us, we came up with inspiring and helping people first to get moving.
Yeah.
Those are the people who are just, maybe they're not working out that much.
Yeah.
Maybe they just want to do a couch to 5K. They want to do their first 5K.
Yeah.
We want to be there to help them get moving. That is our first and foremost goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. I'm on that. That's me. I'm in
that category.
You're
in that category?
It's me. Yes. Pick me. All right. But between now and when I next see you, I'll do a 5K. How about that?
There you go. That's perfect.
Easy peasy.
And then you would transition. You transition into staying
active. Nick's looking at me like, no, you're not.
Nick doesn't believe you, huh? He doesn't believe you.
I can do it. Shut up. Anyway, all right. So get moving. What's the next one?
Well, you can transition after you do that 5K. You can get moving to stay active.
Okay, stay active.
Right.
How does Roadrunner inspire people on the area of staying active? Like, because, I mean, if I'm not in your store.
Yeah.
I mean, thankfully, I have a store of 20 minutes from my house in Chicago.
Right.
So I can go there. But I don't go there to stay active. It's like, how do you inspire me and know whether it's impacting the community?
Well, I think for us, it's about helping people stay active. It's about, again, meeting them on their fitness journey.
Yeah.
So, you know, for us, it's about, hey, if you're already doing races, if you're already running a lot or into fitness a lot, we're there for your next pair of shoes.
Yep.
We're there for when your shoes run out and your heel starts hurting because your shoes rubber has gone down to nothing.
Yeah.
Right. We're there to help you stay active, stay comfortable, and eliminate pain. You know, it's a big thing for us. We talk about how can we help you eliminate pain that you may have.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. And the last one is
live healthy.
All right.
I'm
in a group with you, and I've known you for the last 4 or 5 years, and you are the person out of the entire group who's of optimum health. I remember somebody said, you know, ask how much alcohol, you know, what about your alcohol intake? And you're like, I have a half a beer once a week, maybe. And then like, half a beer? What do you do with the other half? You go, I pour it away. And then it was like, what beer do you drink? Because I'm thinking, you know, that's interesting. You pour it away and you go, an NA beer. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is mind blowing. I can see why you're so healthy. But like, what are some of the things that you do to stay personally healthy? Because I'd imagine when you start talking about the vision of the company is to be healthy, you better set the tone of that. So how do you do it?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think just living healthy clears your mind, helps you be more patient, helps you deal with more stressful situations in a calm manner.
Yeah.
So I think for us, we talk about healthy living choices, healthy food choices, healthy fitness choices.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, for me personally, it is a discipline because it's not easy, right? You want to have that, you want to have those few beers after the run or the hard day at work.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's a lifestyle that I grew up with, that I was around. My parents were into fitness and health at a very early age. That's one of the things I remember most about growing up in that environment. And so I think I've just tried to carry that forward. And honestly, hopefully, Jonathan, I hope I pass it down to my kids, the impact of health and wellness and how it can really fulfill your life.
Yeah. I think that this is not a topic I would go and speak to anyone about, health and fitness. You said journey, which is, journey's always helpful for me because I'm such an extreme person. Last time I ran, it was the first time I'd run in a really long time, and I ran for 7 miles. Ooh. And I didn't have any pain afterwards. And people are like, "You did what?" And I'm like, I woke up one morning, I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to go for a little jog." Yep. And 7 miles later, I came back, and then I don't do it for a really, really long time. Yeah. I'm such an extreme kind of, just consistency is really tough for me. Discipline and consistency. But what are some of the things that you translate now to your family to have, it sounds like you grew up with a healthy family.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Rhythms, healthy family rhythms. What does that look like for your family?
Well, I think for me, I took my boys, they had the San Diego Corporate Dash a few weeks ago.
Okay.
So of course, Roadrunner Sports has to enter. Okay. Of course.
Of course.
So, I took my boys down to it, and they each, I said, "Hey, just walk a little bit with me, through the 5K. After a little bit, Jonathan, they start trotting a little bit at about the half mile mark.
How old are they?
10 and 8 years old.
10 and 8, okay.
Two boys, Connor and Parker.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you, Jonathan, after about a mile, they start running and they start picking up the pace. And they finished a 5K, each of them, running the rest of it. So I think it's just modeling it. Yeah. I think it's getting out there and just showing them.
Yeah.
I'm big on, as you get older, it's harder to get the motivation just to work out that day.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan. If you can get to a class, if you can get to an Orange Theory, if you can get to a yoga class, you don't have to think, you can zone out a little bit.
Yep.
And I think it really makes it easier to keep those rhythms and those habits up to speed.
And you do, this is part of your kind of triggers of when you're dealing with stress, you go for a run.
100%. 100%. I'll go for a run. There's different vices, right? Your body in a stressful situation is looking for a vice, right?
Yeah.
And, you can go an unhealthy route or, once you do that run, once you get that workout in, releases the endorphins, your stress level comes down. I think it makes a big impact.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you run with your kids.
Yep.
Your wife, she goes running too?
She's a runner. Yep. She's out there with me. She's a little faster than me.
Everybody in this family runs. We're a running family. We're road runner.
Not exactly, but she enjoys it. Yeah. And we enjoy it together as an activity. So we do get out there quite a bit.
And my wife and I, we love hiking.
Okay.
And, so it's our 20th wedding anniversary coming up. And we decided we were going to go to Canada, up to the Rockies and hike up there. And then it didn't work out for whatever reason. And so suddenly our attention went to Machu Picchu, Peru.
Oh, geez.
And we are going to go and hike Inca Trail. But we're going to be doing about 10 miles a day at 12,000 feet. And, I'm like, yeah, we'll be fine. And people are like, what? You're going in less than 2 months and you need to be training. I'm like, oh, I'll be all right. People are like, you're going to die up there. And I'm like, am I? So I do have some training to do, but I love the idea of all of these things.
Yes.
Sounds great. But then the rubber hits the road and I got to get out there and start training. But
well, it seems like that ties into your extreme nature, right?
Totally.
Like you're going to go hike in the wilderness. Now let's do Machu Picchu and get after it. I like that. I like that.
Oh my gosh. I remember when I, about 25 years ago, as a young guy ready to move to the States, and I needed to raise some money. I was like, I ain't got enough cash to move to America.
Yeah.
So I was sitting around with three of my buddies, and I said, so I need to do some kind of a fundraiser to get some money here. I go, what about like a run? What if we all ran together? And we could all, four of us run together. We'll raise money for me to come to America. And they're like, well, none of us are runners. And I'm like, that's the beauty of it. None of us are runners. None of us will allow to train.
Yeah.
We'll do it in a week's time. And they're like, what? And I said, we'll attempt a 24-hour nonstop run.
Oh, my gosh.
This is how extreme I am. And it's just, I've not changed. I just...
Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Nick's just losing it here. I know I'm not supposed to include the camera and creative team, but... So I was like, yeah, okay, so next Friday, I'll give you all like sponsor forms. You go out and get people to sponsor per mile or for the whole thing.
Oh, there you go.
And I said, we'll leave at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And we'll run as far as we possibly can for 24 hours. And we ran through the night. I definitely, it was kind of an army yomp. Like, yeah. I wasn't running. I remember at one point going into an English pub and ordering a beer while we're jogging on the spot and drinking a beer, keep running. We made it 31 miles.
31 miles?
In 11 and a half hours.
Oh, my God. Have you heard of Ragnar? Have you heard of Ragnar? Yeah. You need to do a Ragnar. That you sounds like you were on the forefront of the Ragnar. I mean, you're running at night with a relay group. And
we had a flashlights. We were running on these country roads. Yeah. It was pretty scary, you know. But 31 miles, and we called from four cell phones, called from a payphone. Someone come pick us up.
Oh, my God.
And we just, like, passed out in a park, you know, through the night.
That's funny. Anyway,
but that, you give me something extreme to do, I'm in for that. Yeah. Consistency is kind of like, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
Every day running.
Yeah.
So I love that you are inspiring people, and I am inspired.
Good. Maybe today's the running. Maybe today's your run.
I'll run today.
There you go.
I'll tell you, when I'm done with all these podcasts today, I'm going to get out there and run. I'm in beautiful San Diego. It's perfect.
That is a nice area.
All right. One of the things we talk about is going kind of just what's the below the surface? Like, what drives you? What motivates you? Where certain things come from? Taking on a second generation family business. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. Even though maybe your dad might not be putting pressure on you. I mean, there's a lot of transitional pressure of brand name, family business, things like that. How do you sort of process that through? And what sort of things that you feel carried on from your dad that you're like, I've got to do this really well? I mean, how do you navigate that?
Well, I think we're both very competitive, first and foremost, and not necessarily with each other, but trying to achieve and grow and build the company. So I think for us, and for me individually, I'm just hungry.
Yeah,
I'm just hungry. So I'm hungry. I'm looking out 2 years, 3 years, how can we grow the business? And the pressure around, oh, you're second generation, oh, you're Mike Gottfredson's son, that's very secondary to me. Mm. I'm more about what does the team think of me? How can I connect with the team? How can I connect with customers? And if I'm doing that, everything else will take care of itself.
So, I don't know your dad, but I do know how you, your reputation. Of course, when I walk into your stores, I don't say, I know Mike Gottfredson Jr., but I ask them these questions. I'm like, so what's it like working here? Yeah. Why are you here? And I remember being in the store in San Diego, and they were telling me, oh, it's an amazing place. Mm. And I said, what's so amazing about it? The culture is great. I remember I asked each person who went through the, you know, they were kind of taking me through this sort of machine that was so well run. Why do you like working in culture, leadership? There was flexibility because you got a lot of young people in retail stores.
Yeah,
flexibility, like I can go to college and I can get my, you know, I'm paying my way through. It's been brilliant for that. What are some of the things that you are fixated on when it comes to employee, how you treat employees? What are some of these things that you do really, really well that you're proud of?
Well, I think for us, our team members, we're engaging with them. So I don't care if you're in our New Jersey store or in our San Diego store, you're going to hear from me and our leadership group. We're going to get on a Zoom. Yeah. We're going to be frequently asking you what more can we be doing to help you in your store. And one thing we do, Jonathan, we keep a top 10 list. We call it our top 10 list.
Okay.
So let's take the retail division as an example. The retail division has a top 10 list, and these are the top 10 things that the team members in retail have told us, hey, leadership, we need to improve this.
Yeah.
We need to fix this.
Yeah.
And we track that on a weekly basis.
Weekly?
Weekly, absolutely. Wow. Every Tuesday morning from 8:30 to 9 a.m., we have an all-hands call with our retail leadership team.
Yeah.
And we're going through the top 10 list. Hey, we heard we need to fix this iPad, or the iPads are stalling out a little bit in some of our stores. Boom, we have our IT team on that call trying to resolve that issue.
Yeah.
And if they don't resolve it, it stays on there.
Yeah.
And believe me, I see that top 10 list every week as well. And so I think that's one of the things we do, Jonathan. We over-communicate, and we make sure the team out there in the field hears from leadership directly.
That's fantastic. Have you seen what changes have happened? Because I was going to part of journeying with you a little bit through the pandemic.
Yes.
Obviously, retail massively impacted by that.
Yes.
Which probably saw the rise and increase of your e-commerce stuff.
Yep.
Side of the business. What did you learn through the pandemic, which you carry on doing?
I think through the pandemic, we learned how important it is to have the right team members. You know, the team members that stuck with us through the pandemic, the way that we treated them, the way that they treated us, I think was really important learning to, and I think we were doing this before, but it just showed us we can double down on that, is how we treat the team members in retail, how we pay them, compensate them. Everything has changed post-COVID from before COVID. And I think there were some great learnings for us there.
Are you happy with the man you're becoming?
You know, Jonathan, I think the more I work at Roadrunner Sports, this will be going on my 16th year now, the slower things have started to slow down in a good way. Uh-huh. So I think before, in my early years, my first few years, everything felt really fast. Yeah. A lot of reports, more helter-skelter. For me, I don't know if that's how the business was, but I think what I'm most pleased about what I'm becoming is I'm able to strike that balance with the family life and with business life. Mm. And so I feel I've tried to become more patient as a leader.
Yeah.
I've tried to become more strategic as a leader. Yeah. So instead of worrying about what's on my plate that day and what can impact that day, thinking about what can help us next quarter or the next year.
Yeah.
So I think that's been a big transition and development for me, is getting out of the day-to-day that I, you know, grew up in and was so focused on, and trying to be more patient and forward-looking.
Do you apply these things? I mean, are this on a personal level? Do you do this with your family? Like, okay, what are we growing in? How are we doing this thing?
Not as much as I'd like. I have.
I'm going to make sure your wife sees this and listens to this podcast. And, you know, you can't be lying now.
Can't be lying. No, I think on the family side, we could do a better job of that.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife and I try to set goals. Like at the end of last year, we got the family together. We always get away around New Year's.
Okay.
We always go away to to an offsite resort or hotel and kind of bring in the new year the right way. We set some goals. My boys set goals.
Really?
But we don't keep up on it as much as we should.
What kind of goals would your 8 and 10-year-old boys set?
You know, one of them had the goal of trying to make All-Stars in baseball this year.
Okay.
Which is kind of cute, right? My 10-year-old, some of the goals, he's a helper. Mm-hmm. So his goal was to try to help other kids in his class. That he was in, and in a variety of ways. So, you know, I think it's just about putting that out there for them to know they can achieve it and grow into it.
Yeah, yeah. As business leaders, we can come with all these plans and goals and 3-year pictures and quarterly targets and KPIs and things we want to hit.
Yeah.
And then it comes to the private world, and there's nowhere near that level of vision, clarity, structure, goals, and things like that. So it's interesting to hear kind of how leaders actually plan their personal world. And if you could change one thing on the personal life, what would that be?
You know, I think I heard a great podcast, and I don't recall who was sharing it, but they said they started setting up not meetings, but connections with their wife, whether a lunch, but it was planned.
Yeah.
And all they did was talk about the calendar for the next week or for the next month. And I think we could do a better job, my wife and I, of connecting on that to make sure we're on the same page with, all right, what do we have next week schedule-wise? Yeah. So I thought that was a good tip around stepping back and make sure, and if you and your wife were on the same page with the schedule, because we all lead busy lives.
Yeah.
You know, crazy lives.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen your goal book, by the way.
Yeah.
Very impressive. So I think that's a big thing, is connecting and making sure you're on the same page with the scheduling is so important.
Yeah. I have this friend who, at the beginning of every year, they come up with a word or a theme for the year.
Yeah.
and say, okay, here's the theme, here's the word, here's the definition of it, here's what it means to our family, and here's what we're actually going to do about it. And they like break it out, how we're going to grow in this theme of like intentionality or whatever it is. And they break it down, and everybody has some, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is an absolute machine. And yeah, it's really inspiring. You know, there's one side I'm like, that's really cool. I don't know if I could do that. You know, it's the consistency part. But I would imagine in the same way you're consistent with health,
yes,
fitness, wellness, you can be just as intentional and disciplined with your personal world of calendar management. So
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, I think it's a big, big opportunity. I agree. Yeah.
Biggest influences for you as a leader, like when you think of who shaped you,
yeah,
what shaped you, are there different leaders out there that you really look up to and listen to what they have to say?
You know, I was fortunate, Jonathan, and I fell in love with basketball in high school.
Yeah.
And so I had the opportunity to play basketball in Michigan in college. And I played for a coach there named Tommy Amaker.
Okay.
And Tommy Amaker was just a great leader to me, a great mentor when I was there. And he really showed me, he had a phrase, he said, do it the right way. And, you know, you just translate that over to anything, whatever you're doing in work, business, relationships, do it the right way.
Yeah.
And so I've always took that and said, hey, if you're going to do something, do it the right way.
Do it the right way. Yeah.
And that was big. And I also think, look, I think my father's been a big inspiration in my life on the business side. Working closely with him,
sure,
seeing someone who's built a company from a garage to what it is today is pretty spectacular.
You mentioned competition.
Yes.
I'm just kind of thinking competition, your dad.
Yes.
Competing against your dad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right down the raw for you, just like competition and everything. I'm going to win. I'm going to do it the right way, and I'm going to win. Like, how do you navigate that? Like, what is better than your dad? Or like, how do you measure I'm doing better than what my dad did?
Well, I never measure I'm doing better than what my dad did.
Come on now.
No, that's not something that goes through my head.
Good.
I think about what he did was amazing, and what I'm going to do is, the moth made it to me over here.
He did.
And I think about, Jonathan, what I'm going to do is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Not better, not worse. It's going to be different.
Yeah.
Maybe some will be the same. Maybe some will be a little bit different. But, you know, growing up, he was a young dad. So he had me in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
So growing up, when we played basketball, it was more of a older brother thing, right? He would lower the hoop, Jonathan, so that he could dunk on the hoop, right? So that's the competitive spirit that I grew up with. But that's the way I think about it. I don't think about competing with my dad and his business success. I think about how can we grow going forward, mm-hmm, maybe in a different way.
Yeah. So what are some of those things, going back up to the business side now, I guess, what are some of those things that you are doing different that you feel proud of?
Well, I think technology has been huge, especially in our retail stores. If you're in one of our stores, you're going to get greeted with an iPad. The way that we scan insoles to the cloud so that you can reorder them online.
Yeah.
The way that we take you through our Fit Finder process is all technological, yeah, right? Our e-commerce, there's a lot of e-commerce stuff that we're reskinning and testing and trying different things. So I think the technology going forward is going to be a huge part of Roadrunner Sports.
I want to talk more about that, how you can reach into next gen. I was like really impressed going in there and having they showed me videos of how I walk and how I move, and
yes,
and then we're able to custom fit my soles. Where did that all come from? Are you the brains behind that? I mean,
we've been having custom insoles and that process for many years.
Yeah.
But we're on iteration 15 of it.
Yeah.
Right? There's going to be iteration 16, 17. Our first Fit Finder, our first experience where we videotaped you and everything, happened 17 years ago.
Whoa.
With one little treadmill, one little camera in the corner, right? And this guy said, I think we can videotape people and do some different things. We thought he was crazy, actually. So he said, here you go. You can have a little space over here. But you saw what it is today.
Yeah.
And that's going to continue to change and grow, and the technology is going to get better. And the customer, when they walk in, wants an efficient, seamless experience.
yeah,
like you had. And so we're going to have to continue to evolve in that way.
And were you talking about some kind of the technology where people could literally like show like photographs, or like, you know, like on a Zoom or a video where,
yes,
people could show their foot and based on that they could mold custom
it's,
fitting
for them? Yeah, like, there's some cool technology coming down the pipe. It's not all fully developed out there.
Yeah.
But you know, they're working on things where you can take your mobile phone, scan your foot, you know, without a sock on it, and it can tell the size and try to translate that online. So there's a lot coming down the pipe with technology around fitting and your foot scanning, all that stuff.
I was wondering if jockey underwear were going to do the same thing, but hopefully not.
I hope not as well. But let me go back to another point you said around competition. You know, one of the things, I read a ton about family businesses, and you know, one of the things about transition is I see a lot of family businesses get in trouble when the second generation does compete with the first generation.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing I think we've been able to be successful is as a second generation, third generation, honoring that generation before you.
That's like beautiful.
When I think about what my dad did with that garage and starting with nothing, by the way, we have no outside investors. We are 100% privately owned. We don't answer to private equity. We don't answer to outside partners. And so just having that respect, I think, goes a long way. And I'm aware of how grateful the opportunity that I had was. And so just paying homage to that for next generations, I think, is really important.
That's beautiful, the whole sort of concept of honor and, you know, just honoring those who've gone before us. What does that actually look like? We have a lot of business leaders on here listening to this podcast, and some of them second generation. Had a guest on here recently. They were third generation. The odds are not looking so hot for third gen to take on family business. And all of these dynamics of competition and trying to navigate those things. What does honor look like for you and your dad? Like, how do you honor him? Like, what does that look like in the business?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I'll give you a few examples. There is actually a National Sporting Goods Hall of Fame. And absolutely. And recently I worked to get Chief Runner. We call him Chief Runner at the office. We got him inducted into the National Sporting Goods Hall of Fame. And I went up on stage and got to present him in front of 400 people. Just a great honor.
That is good.
I think that was pretty cool. One thing we did, we have a wall of fame now outside. As you walk into our home office in San Diego, it's a timeline chronologically, and it just pays homage to the work that he did, the effort he put in, and it's something that, you know, can never be taken away.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I love that. So what are you most looking forward to?
You know, I'm most looking forward to working more with customers and growing our stores.
Yeah.
I think for me it's pretty important. I think there's communities, Jonathan, that we can be and we're not in. And so I think that's something we're continuing to look to grow and expand wherever we can.
Community. That's a huge thing with the generation coming through.
Yes.
I think historically, obviously, community around local geographic, then we shifted away because of all the social media. Everyone's kind of like this virtual thing. And then they're craving real, genuine, authentic community, interpersonal community. How do you create that? Tell me about some of those things you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's I think running in itself is a community, right? Yeah. There's a strong running community, strong fitness community. One of the things we have, Jonathan, is we have a grassroots division. Uh-huh. And this grassroots division, we have over 400 relationships with high schools around the country.
Oh, that's cool.
So we have team nights. We bring in pizza. We're playing the music. You know, that's one way. We're celebrating with their whole family. We have over 500 relationships with races around the country where they come in and do their packet pickups at our store. We're helping educate someone who's just doing their first race about the right shoe to get, the right insole to get.
Yeah.
So I think we're out there in the community where our stores are. And those are just a few examples of how we're trying to do some outreach.
That's great. So you got the schools. I've heard you talking about the aging community. Like, how do we tap into that? How do we serve the aging population and get them moving and being active, healthy? So you mentioned innovation. Like, you have a team of people who just, what, they just sit around and, like, that sounds like a fun idea. Sort of sit down and just dream up ideas. Is that, how do you stay innovative?
Yeah, I think we have a strategy group. We have a strategy team that we come together. We meet quarterly, talk about what's next, what's on the horizon.
Yeah.
I think we're always looking at what the competition is doing.
Yeah.
But you know, at Roadrunner, we take a lot from outside of the running community and try to bring that into our retail stores as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's something our strategy team is always looking at. How can we elevate and improve our store experience and our website experience?
Yeah. Do you see, what kind of trends are you seeing in that sort of the retail e-commerce? Like, are you observing anything there for other people?
You know, I would say you can't be too personal right now. Personalization. So
you can't be too personal.
You can't have too much personalization. Example, when you came into our store, it cannot help us enough that we know what shoe you got. We know what size shoe you got. We know what socks you liked, low cut, mid cut, what color you liked. So the next time you're in our store, oh, Jonathan, I see you got the Asics Kayano last time with the low cut black socks.
Yeah.
Right. So we can follow up on that and understand that when you come in.
Oh, that's good. That's, I think that's a big pressure for a lot of businesses because we've got a generation coming through that have had everything customized for them.
Yes.
I think I remember moving to California and I couldn't believe that my daughter's teenage daughter at the time, her school system, they would do a semester would last for 1 month.
Oh, interesting.
And they would do one course for 1 month and then take a final. And I'm like, that's really cool. And it was like this kind of customized, like they get to pick, you know, what their schedule was going to be and what they're going to be focusing on for the month. And they obviously had to get through all the courses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? That's really cool. But what a nightmare for your employer.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, 100%.
Because you've just sort of trained this customization of everything and something, you know, oh, I did that for a month. I've mastered it. Let's move on now.
Right. Right.
And oh my gosh, the pressure to customize everything. And when do you say that's enough?
Yes. Yes.
When do you say, come on, this doesn't make sense now. We can't customize everything. But just because of, you know, you get in an Uber, kind of like, excuse me, I want the temperature to be this and I don't want you to talk to me. Those are the swipe things, you know.
That's funny.
Oh my gosh! Like we've become so impersonal, you know. To say, don't speak to me. I'm too important in the back seat here, and I like it to be 68 degrees. But when it comes to employment,
yeah,
like, what kind of as people journey through you, customization? Yeah. Like, how do you even talking to some of your employees? They're saying, "Oh, it's amazing flexibility, so I can do this, do this, do this."
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are some of the things you're seeing from an employment side when it comes to customization? Like, how do people journey with you as a career?
Yeah, I think for us, look, we want to have a work hard but flexible environment,
uh-huh.
right? So team members, we right now do not have 5 days a week everybody in our San Diego home office, right? So we have some flexibility there for team members.
Yeah.
So I think for us, I think you said it well, it's about meeting the team member where they are.
Uh-huh.
And look, we track all of our internal promotions. We track all the referrals. So I think that helps us make sure we're promoting from within when it's appropriate. And we think some of the best team members we've ever got have been from referrals from current team members.
Really?
You know, that's a huge aspect of how we recruit and bring in the right team members.
Do you happen to know off the top of your head what percentage of your hires come from referrals?
I want to say it's right now around 22%.
That's pretty specific.
So 22%, yeah. It varies between 15 and 25% depending on the quarter. We'd like it to be higher.
Yeah.
But I think for us, those referrals are huge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and great people refer great people usually. It's kind of in their sphere of influence and things like that. So that's good. 25%, it's not a bad number.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly cuts your cost of recruitment down. Do you give some kind of a bonus to people or show them? How do you do?
I think our bonus is around $600.
Whoa.
For referring in a new team member. Yeah.
That's big for retail.
Yeah, you think so?
I mean, I think that I'm surprised it's only 25% at that number.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, maybe, is it 600?
I don't know. No, I know it's 600.
I mean, I think for retail, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's quite motivational for people.
Yeah.
For sure. Great. So, okay, one last question. What are you growing in personally right now?
What am I growing in personally right now? You know, we have a saying for our leaders, you know, servant leadership. Uh-huh. And we talk about using the phrase, how can I help you? Uh-huh. As opposed to what can you do for me?
Right.
And so I think for me personally, I'm trying to continue to grow in that servant style leadership, to continue to ask that question. What more can I be doing to get out of your way? What roadblocks do you have that I can help eliminate? How can I spend more time with your team so that they feel fully engaged and fully transparent with what's going on with the company? I think it's a big thing for me right now.
Oh, that's beautiful. And do you craft time for that? Okay, I'm on the prowl. I'm going to walk through. I'm going to connect with people and find out how I can help them.
Yeah, one thing I think that's really been helpful for me that I'll share out is I talk to all of our executives and I say, hey, this quarter, I want to make sure I get a happy hour on calendar with your team. I just took one of our leadership groups out to breakfast the other morning.
Yeah.
So I'm really working with our executive team to make sure, hey, let's make sure we're connecting with all the players and all the different divisions throughout the quarter.
Yeah. And you go out for breakfast and have a smoothie.
No smoothie for me. I had the blueberry pancakes morning, Sean. I went for it, man.
You're trying to be with the common people.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Yeah.
I love it. How do people get hold of not a hold of you, but how do they hear about Roadrunner? Like if they're like, I'm intrigued, I want to get involved in this thing. Like where do they go?
Yeah, I would encourage you to check out www.roadrunnersports.com. Yep. That's our website. There's a store locator on there, so you can find out if you have a store in your zip code or your area. And I think that would be the best way to check us out and see if we got what's right for you.
Well, I told our executive team recently, I'm like, okay, next time we get together near a Roadrunner, we're going to go there. I'm going to take you in there. You're going to experience the whole thing. Everyone's going to get shoes and get fitted and soles. So next month we're going to do that. So I'm really looking forward to it. But thanks so much for the influence you've had in me. Next time I see you, I would have done a 5K.
I love it. Thank you. That'll be awesome. Deal. I want to hear how it goes.
I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to be wearing Roadrunner sponsored shoes in Machu Picchu.
I love it.
I just said that publicly, so now you have to sponsor me with shoes. So. Oh,
we're happy to do that, Jonathan. We're happy
to
do that.
This episode was brought to you by Roadrunner Sports. And I'll be wearing their shoes. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
It's great to have you here. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate it.
Cheers.